Good evening, everyone. As we grow and continue our Ruchniyistika life's journey and our Ruchniyistika maturation process, it's very important that on one hand, we have an ability to discover new hasagas, new breakthroughs. We not be married to the perspective of Torah which we had in our youth. You know the famous mashal of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in this regard, about a fellow who in adulthood continues to wear his childhood tzitzis, right? You know the tiny tzitzis we put on a three-year-old that they're up sharing and come toilet trained, they can keep the tzitzis, they come up sharing the tiny tzitzis on, they puffy paint the olive face on them. They're not kashir, they're chinuch tikka tzitzis. So imagine a mature adult, says Rabbi Yaakov, who's wearing one of those tzitzis. Can you imagine, excuse me, a bunch of men see in the mikveh or something, the fellow's still wearing one of those. And they say, chap, it's time to get a new pair of tzitzis. He said, well, my mommy got me this one. And Rabbi Yaakov said, many people's hasag in Torah is still the three-year-old tzitzis. Right? They understand the Torah, they understand the mitzvahs on a very infantile level, which was great at that stage, but it's time to move on. So on one hand, we want to stir it up newness, breaking beyond what we understood in our youth, but on the other hand, we don't want to become irreverent towards the more pashta, the simpler understanding, right? We need a healthy balance between revering the primal, simple pashta mesira of our youth, the altitash tairis simecha, and the mature Talmud Chacham in us with a new understanding. And there's a balance there. You sometimes see Talmidim in their growth who have trouble revering, right? That more, I know better, right? I mentioned this Hakdama to my Chodesh El share tonight because I want to be careful. I want to posit a very different understanding of Chodesh El than the classical one. One which I think an understanding of the sources yields on one hand, but on the other hand, I don't want to chalila be irreverent towards the common understanding. There's a healthy balance there. And so I begin. If I would ask you, what is Chodesh El about? You'll say it's a no-brainer, of course. This is the fearsome month, right? It's a month before Rosh Hashanah. Chodesh has a certain presence in Torah, a month. A month of preparation for Rosh Hashanah, I think common understanding has it. Right, so it's a month to prepare for Yom HaDin. And hence all the Yiddish aphorisms, like in Chodesh Elul, even the fish in the brook are shaking. Now to me it seems like cold-blooded fish are always shaking in the brook. But you get what that did in the imagery of Yiddish. Even the fish in the brook are shaking. And this concept of the Emes HaDin regarding Chodesh El certainly gives a certain intensity to the Avodah of Chodesh El. I take that back. Certainly gives a certain intensity to the Avodah of Chodesh El and the Yeshivas HaKdoshes. However, I must assert that if you look in the primal sources, the basic sources regarding Chodesh El being a special time, the basic sources in Chazal, like not Drosh Svar, like Tor Shulchan Aruch, Midrashim, they don't really say anything about a Zman of Hachana for Rosh Hashanah. What is the source that El is a special time? In primal sources, like Tor Beis Yosef level. So if you look, it says, you know what the source is that this is a special time? Based on the Pirkei Dei Rabbi Eliezer? Because this is when the 40 days of Moshe receiving the Luch HaShnius began. Right after the horror and the fiasco of Chet HaEgel, Moshe then was able to achieve complete atonement for Klal Yisrael, and hence a reconsummation of the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam of Torah, which was so tragically severed with Shviras HaLuchos, now cemented with second Luchos. So Chodesh Elul is actually more a preparation for Yom Kippur in the primal sources, right? It's the beginning of the 40 days of what Chazal call Yemei HaRatzon, days of divine favor. That is the Lashon of the Medrash, which Rashi says, the final 40 days El through Yom Kippur are 40 days of Ratzon, and that's lost in the poskim use. These are days of Ratzon, divine favor. It's a very different feel than the fish trampling in the brook, or the yeshiva bachim trampling. Very different feel. Hachana for Yom Kippur, I'm going to argue, more than Rosh Hashanah. And this is why there were Muslim of El, which are primal. I don't mean pneumonic set of shalosh shudas tyra witticisms. I mean the primary Muslim, like from the Arizal, okay? There is a difference there. I don't really see any reference to din. I have not been able to, right? In those primal, right? Any references I know have to do with Ava, divine favor, taking us back. Certainly the most famous Ramas of the Arizal. El is Rosh Hashanah, Sani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Right? I, Kol Yisrael, feminine, is to my beloved Hashem, Hashem is to us. That's nothing to do with Yemes Adin. That's much more the Yom Kippur focus, re-cementing a relationship, Yom Kippur, which is called Yom Chasunaso. Hashem, in the Mishnah, Hashem took us back. It's a time of love, it's a time of coming together again, Yemei Ratzon. And perhaps this perspective that El is primarily a time of Ratzon preparing for Yom Kippur more so than Rosh Hashanah, which by the way means it's a Zman Tshuva. Of course it's a Zman Tshuva. I think that was the original. That was the authentic. It was a Zman Tshuva. But Tshuva from the perspective of it's an opportunity for redo and coming back. Then to whatever degree we have our own kibiyachal infidelity with the Ribbono Shel Olam, oh boy, we soured on him. All of us, all of our egels in our lives. Right? The egel is called an act of infidelity, marital infidelity, alubakal, the sense of the chutasa. Hashem has taken us back, all of us, right? I've been disloyal towards Hashem, but he's lovingly taken us back. It's definitely this tshuva in preparation for Yom Kippur, not in preparation for the din of Rosh Hashanah, because of course, as the Ramban writes, Rosh Hashanah is primarily din with a tinge of rachamim, Yom Kippur is rachamim with a tinge of din, right? It's an inverse relationship. Probably in the Sephardish world, They see this, or they feel this more poignantly when Chodesh El becomes a time of a 40-day cycle of saying Slichas. So I think they pick up on this rhythm that El and Aser Yemei Tshuva is one period of 40 days. I don't really know where it comes from or what the source is that people intuitively believe that Chodesh El is a time of preparation for Rosh Hashanah and fear and so on. The din is real. So you might say it's logical, like a shlosh, but I don't know of any chazal that says it, right? Maybe you're going to argue, ha ha ha, but what about the shofar? Did I forget? The minhag Ashkenaz based in the Gaon that we blow shofar. Is that not an indication, right? Is that not an indication? I think many of us assume that shofar is some sort of like Rosh Hashanah's around the corner, right? All the evocative shofar associations, no? Well, if you look in the primary sources, as in learn Torah Beis Yosef and read the Pirkei Avos Eliezer that the Beis Yosef cites regarding El and the Minhag Ashkenaz to Bol Shofar, you'll see a very, very, very different. It says, you know why we Ashkenaz and Bol Shofar? Because the Pirkei Avos Eliezer says when Moshe Rabbeinu went on high the second time in Ruchat HaShal, they blew Shofar in the camp as a warning. Don't cheat on the Ribbono Shel Olam again. It was a wake-up call of tshuva, right? They blew shofar in the midbar, says the Pirkei Avos Eliezer. It was some sort of wake-up call of tshuva within the miskeres, within the framework of the 40 days. It is not an echo or a foreshadowing of the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. I once said this for Rambam, and a very chashuv Rosh Hashiva looked at me in disbelief. He thought, go look. So the Beis Yosef, the Pirkei Avos Eliezer. And he had no rejoinder for him, right? El is in primary sources a hachana for Yom Kippur, and the Avodah is tshuva. And this is particularly poignant in terms of El coinciding with Parshas Ki Tzetzeh, this week's parasha, which is frequently the first parasha, one of the first parashias, because Parshas Ki Tzetzeh, heralding El, is loaded with Lucha Shnius, Hashem taking Klal Yisrael back in the latter 40-day Ramazan. We know as the Shla writes, a given parasha which corresponds with a Tekufa always has linkages and associations. You will find many Ramazan in Adonai to the motif of Hashem taking back or taking back the disloyal bride or the bride who was believed to be disloyal, for example. In this week's parasha, we have the mitzvah of Maitzi Shemra, right? The painful family dynamic when a husband accuses his wife of being disloyal, that becomes a family affair somehow. Somehow these domestic issues always become family affairs, right? That Terry speaks about. Her parents show up in Besdin to back her up, right? It becomes a whole blow over Mighty Shamrock, and it's proven that the accusation was all false, right? He was Mighty Shamrock falsely accusing Abbas Yisrael, and he pays a penalty, and he must commit to stay married to her forever, not to divorce her, right? Well, Mighty Shamrock, we know, is linked by Chazal to these 40 days, right? Because Rashi and Chumash quotes a Medrash, that at the time of Pesach, when the day before Rosh Chodesh El, Hashem told Moshe, on Rosh Chodesh El, go up and carve second luchos. Says Rashi, this is a Mitzvah Shemra phenomenon, right? You know, explains Rashi, right? Because Hashem was telling Moshe in a sense, Moshe, you were the one who broke the first luchos. Why did you break the first luchos? You broke the first luchos because you believed that my beloved Klal Yisrael cheated on me, right? But they didn't cheat on me. This is like if there was a murmuring, a scandalous murmuring in the palace, says Rashi, that the young bride of the king cheated, right? So the one who introduced them rips up the ksuba, right? I wanna pull back the clock as though they never got married, so it won't be so egregious what the bride did. And then they found that the whole thing was yellow journalism. Yeah, fake news, right? It was actually one of the shvachos, it was one of the maidservants who was involved in the sordid affair. And the king told the sheshben, he told the one who introduced him, he said, what did you do? Why did you rip up the ksuv? My bride is pure. Hashem told Moshe, why did you break the luchas? Klal Yisrael was pure, it wasn't them, it was the shivcha, it was the heir of Rav. Now, we've discussed the meaning of this migration in the past, because on a simplistic level, Klal Yisrael did do it. Yes, the heir of Rav were the instigators, right? And we've discussed how this migration seems to be seen from a redemptive El perspective, right? Hashem is looking in the Jewish people's hearts, and saying your hearts weren't in it the way the heir of Rav were. But the point is, isn't it powerful that mighty Shemra, it's the scandalous marital infidelity claim, which is in our parasha, is also Chazal's motif of El. Again, all linking our parasha of this tekufa to the 40-day marital imagery. And I would say by extension, perhaps even more famous, a remez to El right in the beginning of our parasha, which also has this marital motif, famous Zayir HaKadosh, which says Yafas Tyre, that first mitzvah in our parasha regarding the soldier on the battlefield who's lured to the beautiful Gentile woman. And he takes her into his home, and she dishevels herself, growing long nails, shaving her head bald. For a month she cries for the loss of her non-Jewish parents. This desire, that's a remnant to the 30 days of crying during Chodesh El. Knesset Yisrael is crying, right? Well, this crying, is it crying of Amos HaDin? Or is it crying of Tshuva? I'm going to argue the perspective is it's crying in preparation to marry the holy Jewish soldier who took her. But clearly it's dovetailing with all the marital imagery, right? Of Hashem taking a bride, retaking a bride in the Yom Chasunas Zumat and Taira, right? And I'm going to suggest to tighten the Zohar's imagery a little bit, the notion of a Yafas Tar, right? She's a Gentile woman. She's kind of in the no-no territory for the Jewish soldier. But yet there's something attractive, something physically attractive, and according to our Chaim, something spiritually attractive. What's luring a Jewish soldier to him, to her, is not just physical beauty, but a spiritual virtue, a Jewish Nitzakdusha that's in her, right? That's all gonna be the backdrop for desire that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol, right? Is as though attracted to the maiden here, the Jewish people who is chote, sinful, right? Has all those non-Jewish associations, but yet there's that core of beauty that we're going to find, that core of holiness, which is luring, and you begin to appreciate that imagery from a marital owl perspective, right? And perhaps if we have time, at the end of this year, in a future week, we'll develop some of the more poignant messages of tshuva from that Zohar HaKadosh. My point is one thing, I want things simple, right? My revamped El, that El was not a preparation for Hashanah, but a preparation for Yom Kippur, and the Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li is an expression of love with marital imagery, right? Firmly cubby holes and squares El in the pre-Yom Kippur cubby, not in the pre-Rosh Hashanah cubby, and you're picking up again on a lot of marital imagery, which is the story of El, right? Whether Mati Shemra, whether Yifas Tayar, right? Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, right? Which is very, very powerful when you go back to the, now to complete our patterns, the very mazel, the very zodiac sign of El, which is what? Besula, a virgin. Right? I don't know of any Rosh Hashanah, Amos HaDin, virgin perspectives. Yeah? But however, when we appreciate that it's a story of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, it's pre-Yom Kippur, it's filled with marital imagery, right? The notion of a basula, of purity, approaching things from newness, but particularly from a feminine perspective in terms of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, Kol Yisrael's three Bono Shem was bright, but even deeper than that, and even more poignantly, when you pick up on Chazal's remes for this tekufa, that taking back Kol Yisrael during El 3 Yom Kippur is a mighty Shemra story, that he said, she did not cheat on me, right? You were mighty Shemra. Kol Yisrael did not cheat on me, Hashem is proclaiming during this period, which is not only a thing of old, but a thing today. When Hashem retakes us during this period, he says, Jewish people, Chaim, Yaakov, Shifra, all of you are really pure, right? It wasn't you, right? You're pure, right? Anyone who said otherwise is a mighty Shemra. Well, what is the terminology in the pasuk in this week's parsha regarding a mighty Shemra? The advocates for the young woman who was slandered say, her parents say, Be'ela Besule BT. These are the marks of virginity, the Besule, right? Don't you see the expansive pattern developing, what the mazel of Besule is all about, and how this is all reflecting the greater Tshuva Yom Kippur model? And I actually, I'm going to leave it with a challenge in the air. The Olam should be very bothered with everything I've said tonight, because I am taking on the conventional perspective. I know of no mainstream source, as in like, you know, Torah, Beis Yosef, Arizal, Medrash. Drush Svarim are abound with alternative perspectives, but in the primary sources, I know of no mucker that holds Achana for the Yemitin of Rosh Hashanah. All sources point to Hachana Fiyam Kippur and of the 40 days of Hachana Fiyam Kippur, and that's an Avayda Tshuva, right? Rather than a Hachana Lizkais Bedin. To me, that is very, very clear, and it's hard for people to accept because it is such a paradigm shift with major, major implications. That's point one. However, there is a second part to this. I have to deal with it. That it's 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Can't be a coincidence, it's kind of upset. Shloshim Yom Kaidah Mahaga, 30 days as a period of prep. That does seem to be a very authentic perspective, right? So, which seems to be where the Olam is coming from, right? I don't think they're right. I don't think the fish are actually trembling in the brook, right? No, they are simply cold-blooded and they seem to tremble in Chodesh Adar too, right? But joking aside, it is true it's 30 days, which is a period of Hachana and Taira. So how does that jive? How do we work that out? How could it be that a period just so associated with Besula and Hashem taking us back in the Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li of the El 3 Yom Kippur, how does this Avodas HaTshuva jive with being 30 days before Rosh Hashanah? In a sense, this question of mine is really symptomatic of a meta question. I'm going to ask you a question which is so simple. It's such a simple question that I think many superficial people will even push the question aside and won't recognize how powerful the question is because it's so simple, right? very simple question. And that is the entire relationship between Rosh Hashanah on one hand and Yom Kippur on the other. We understand intuitively, and Chazal clearly reflect, that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are one continuum of Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. And yet, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur seem to be emerging and emanating from two entirely different storylines. Rosh Hashanah is based on which story? Bereishis, right? And we could bring this out from many perspectives. Whether you want to look at the Bereishis, the Hayyim Haras Olam, that on the day of creation, the day of creation of man is being relived every year as he recreates man, right? And he's judging, should I create man? Just like Chazal tells us at the beginning of the Bereishis Olam story, Hashem assesses with the Malachim, should I make man, right? That the dinner of Rosh Hashanah is a, you could see as a recasting of that, right? That's only one perspective. Another perspective in the Medrashes, the Medrash tells us that the din of Rosh Hashanah is, in a sense, not only a zechar for, as I'm suggesting, the divine determination of din for Brias Adam, but actually what happened later in that day, of Brias Adam. When Adam sinned after Chareitz Hadas, Hashem judged man, and judged man's discretions, right, judgment, I'm sorry, in man's indiscretions, man, not man's averus, and man was zeichah b'din, yatzah b'dimas. So every year, likewise, Hashem judges our indiscretions, our chara egan, yatzah b'dimas, right? But whether you want to look at it from my more pashut perspective, that Rosh Hashanah and the din of Rosh Hashanah is emerging from the fact that it's a day of Brias Ha'atam, so he's rejudging, he should create man, or whether you want to look at the Medrash's variant perspective that it's a redo, right? And it's reliving the ancient story of the judgment of after Eitz Hadas, which is, by the way, a very interesting dichotomy, two perspectives on the din, the more pristine judgment, pre-sin, of creating man, or the, I'm going to argue, the Medrash, the dichotomy of the more sordid perspective of the imperfect, right, of after Chere Yitzhadas. Very interesting dichotomy within Rosh Hashanah, but the point is, either way, however you slice it, it's a Bereishis story, right? Is Yom Kippur part of the Bereishis story? Do we find on a level of pshat, homilies aside, on the level of pshat, is Yom Kippur reliving something in the Bereishis story? No. Yom Kippur, according to Chazal, is reliving something in the Shemai story, right? After Chag HaEgel, when the Ribbono Shel Olam took us back in the El through Yom Kippur and gave us Luch HaShanis. So don't you see that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are emerging from two different stories? Now, of course, they're linked, right? But my question is, how is there a continuum forming that we take so for granted in Jewish consciousness? When the two are emerging from two different stories. Now, obviously, there's going to be these two different storylines. Bereishis Olam on one hand, and Hashem taking back Klal Yisrael after the Egel on the other. Obviously, they're going to be linked despite the distance in time. Right? But that needs a lot of explanation. Do you see how that whole continuum we take for granted from a conceptual perspective is very intriguing? Right? This to me was always the most major question about Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. How do Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur come cleave together as one? That's a question which I've been asking since my youth and been intriguing. Superficial people usually don't appreciate the question. Talmid Chacham, take a stab at the question. I would throw this question to people who are amongst us, and some people who are now in the Olam HaAmas and gotten various responses or acknowledgments. Okay? I think that tension of how Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are emerging with two different storylines is related to my Elul complication here, or conundrum here, right? How could it be that Elul, in all of the sources we cite, is a hachana for Yom Kippur, the 40 days of Hashem taking us back, but yet in Jewish consciousness is understood as the 30 days of preparation for Rosh Hashanah? How you jive those two together, I think, going to be very related to understanding how Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur themselves become cleaved. So, I saw something game-changing in my life. Sometimes the most powerful revelations in Svarim Kedoshim come not from an entire chapter, but from a single line. I read a single line of Bnei Yisachar that for me opened up worlds. If I built entire shiurim on this one line of Bnei Yisachar, it's lines of thought have been etched in my consciousness based on this. I was so excited when I saw this. It was like breathtaking. Says the Bnei Yisachar, Halei Dabar Elohim. The days of El, which precede the dinner of Rosh Hashanah, are called Yemei Ratzon, days of favor. Hashem showed favor when Michael ascended on high to receive the Lulish. It's not like this, he shows his favor every year when he retakes us. So says the Bnei Sefer, hey, Ratzon precedes Bria, right? The Gili of Hashem's Ratzon and favor precedes Bria. Says the Bnei Sefer, is that not what we see every Shabbos or every week? The end of Shabbos, the period of Mincha Shal Shudas, is called Kabbalah Rava Derava, Deravan, the period of Ratzon. And it immediately precedes Yom Rishon when the creation process starts again. Right? So he's saying, you see, uncanny. Ratzon seems to always precede Bria. Whether in El, as you made Ratzon before the Bria of Rosh Hashanah, or the end of Shabbos, which is Ratzon before Bria. Nice pattern. But what does it mean? Why in the world, what is this archaic repetition? Resurfacing pattern that Ratzon precedes Bria. And I'll tell you what I think Pshat is. The Ramchal tells us that, of course, it's Yiddishkeit 101, that Hashem created the world lahaytiv. Hashem's entire role in the world is from the position of love, to give and to nurture. And he says, any din on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part is all in the interest of that greater Taibu Meitiv persona, Kiviyah. Right? That apparently, as he elaborates, the goodness we achieve is going to be all the more meaningful because we have to work, because there is consequence, because there is Schar V'Einish. Right? So he says, the fact that the world is a harsh place, the world is a very harsh place. Life is harsh. Living this life is a very big job. Anyone who has their eyes open, personal struggles, the human story, the Jewish story, right? But all of that harshness, which is innate to the human condition, which is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, B'midas HaDin, Rosh Hashanah is, of course, the day of Din and creation together. You understand, it was hardwired into the cosmos itself, a certain Din, a certain harshness. Says the Ramchal, but all of that harshness, which is innate to the creation and innate to the world and innate to the human experience, is all an expression of Hashem's greater Ratzon, ultimate Ratzon in the words of the Ramchal, ultimate desire, which is to be made. Says the Ramchal, so often in life, the Midas HaDin, the strict divine judgment, which is a tool to service the Ratzon Lehate of the greater divine will to be loving, obscures the Ratzon to be made. When people just see the harshness, the big job of living life, and they say, where's the love? I don't feel it, right? Missing the vibe, right? That's what we always complain about, right? The Midas HaDin, which is here to service love, obscures the love, right? But in reality, it's here to service the love, and the Ramchal says, in special times, during special times, there's a breakthrough when we clearly see Hashem's Ratzon Lehetiv in the human experience, notwithstanding its harshness. We feel the love. Yimeyav amongst the Mesa, things are going well. We feel a stride on our step. We feel a boost in our hearts, a buoyancy in our spirit. This, I believe, is the meaning of the Bnei Yisachar's pattern, why Ratzon always precedes creation. Right? Creation is B'midas HaDin. Right? Hashem created a structured world. It's a harsh place. But there's a Ratzon behind all of it. What was that Ratzon Lehetiv? That's why Ratzon, divine will, always, slash divine favor, always precedes Din, slash always precedes Bria. El, you may Ratzon before the Bria of Rosh Hashanah. The end of Shabbos, Rava Derava Ratzon before the Bria on Sunday. What's going on is, before the creation process is experienced, we first have a purview in what's behind the creation. Don't see in the harshness of the created world the big picture. No, the big picture is the Ratzon Lehetiv behind it, right? And therefore, when Hashem took the Jewish people back in the Midbar after Chavah Yigal, he was revealing to them, right? Midas HaDin is not supreme. All Midas HaDin that I hardwired into creation is really part of a greater reality, which is my Ratzon Lehetiv, and I'm loving, right? And therefore, at times I override Midas HaDin, because it's really just here to service Chesed, and that's why I take you back, Right? So it was bedafk, it was specifically in the period of El before Rosh Hashanah that Hashem started Teravila Ratzin that precedes creation, that's underlying creation, that's why Ratzin precedes creation. You see how it's perfect? That's, I think, the Amos HaPshat. Right? I got so excited because Mary V'Rabbi of Nachum Lansky always says that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, but then Yom Kippur, what the Ramchal says in her Mishpat, but then Yom Kippur reveals the love that's in Midas HaDin, to use the words of the Ramchal Seder HaYichud, that in all the harshness of the world, there's really lovingness inside. Rav Nachum understands Seder HaMishpat, Seder HaYichud, that is the story of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. First, it seems very harsh in Rosh Hashanah, but on Yom Kippur, when he takes us back, right, he's showing us the underlying Ratzon HaTavah, which is behind it. And I said, Rebbe's entire Vart, that the Yom Kippur process, which begins in Rosh Hashanah, is about the love behind creation, we could all associate with this B'nai Yisachar, and Rav Nachum got very excited. Yeah? In fact, I'll tell you, we'll say Rav Nachum's not a chassid. He told me, he said, it probably appears in even earlier sources than the B'nai Yisachar, it's so good. Right? And he said, he's excited about Mesef Shat. Right? I think a chassid would say the Baal Ruach HaKodesh is of the B'nai Yisachar. Rav Nachum says, that probably appears in Baal Ruach HaKodesh too. I interpret that as you wish. And we'll develop this over the coming weeks, but as is Hashem in terms of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But now we're beginning to understand that El is the Hachana for Yom Kippur, Hashem taking us back. Why it precedes Rosh Hashanah, right? Not because the fish are trembling, and not because the hellfire and brimstone schmoozing, if those hell people in there are going to get great, but the tsun of the perspective is it's a Hachana for Rosh Hashanah because it's revealing what's behind the Rosh Hashanah. It's revealing the love and the taking us back and the mercy, right? You understand how the picture is all coming together now, I think, very authentically, right? And this I want to suggest is the pshat, I'm going to move very quickly in the next 12 minutes to Myra, while I'm packing subsequent weeks. I'll say my coordinates very, very quickly, right? This, I think, is pshat in the Sefer Yetzirah, when the Sefer Yetzirah tells us regarding Chodesh El, Hashem's creation, the formative material which created Chodesh El. It says El was created through the Ais Yud, the letter Yud. Himlech Ais Yud b'maisa. He made the letter Yud sovereign on action. Right? What is that archaic expression? Yud and action. Well, a Yud in Kabbalah represents the inception point, the origin point of reality. You see this really in Rashi and Chumash also, when Rashi says on Az Yashir that a Yud prefix means all of the Liba. It's an initial ratzon or thought. Yud, as the Maharal says, is a point. Yud is the inception of something, the thought, the emotion behind something before you begin to actualize it. If you want to use super Kabbalistic terminology, the Mekubal tell us that the tag of the Yud is connected Hashem as a ratzon, keser, that's why it's a tag, and then the body of the Yud is tchilas hamachshav, the beginning of the midah v'chachna, right? So a Yud is the beginning of a divine ratzon slash its actualization of chachma. Right before it takes form. Don't you see so preciously? El, which is the Yemei Ratzon, the way we're explaining it, Hashem's under, it's the source of where the entire divine creation process is coming. Hashem's Ratzon, at the beginning of the formation of it, the hate it, he's here to love, before it takes in the structures and the scruples of a harsh world on Rosh Hashanah, right? You see, that's why it's connected Yud, and it's Himlech Ha'is Yud B'maisa. This Ratzon of Hashem, I'm going to suggest, which is normally concealed from the real world. You're going to say, the real world is harsh. Nice guys make it last, right? It seems in the harsh world, yeah, all the love is theoretical and abstract. No. This is a time when it's revealed in Hashem's behavior. It's the world of Maisa. It's about love, right? I'm going to even take you Jewish people back when you say the Yud breaks through Maisa. I would suggest this is also the pshat in what the Sefer Yetzirah continues to say. When it correlates each month to a given limb in the body, and it tells us Chodesh El is connected, the Yad small, the left hand, which the Mefarshim on Sefer Yetzirah says is really telling us the Tefillin Shel Yad, which is on the left hand, right? The reason why the Tefillin Shel Yad is significant to this picture, I'm going to suggest, is Tefillin are all about linking mind, heart, and action. Next, the Tefillin Shel Reish, the Svar Makdashim tell us, is sanctifying the realm of thought, brain. Then the Tefillin Shel Yad, which is connected to the lay of the heart, is how the mind links to the heart, but then to the realm of action as reflected through the hand. So hence I'm going to suggest the left-handed film Chaliad connection is all about the continuum from mind, heart to action, which incorporates Ratzon Chachma, right, the source of a divine desire. Hashem wants to do something, he's here lehetiv, and that's in Kiviyachal, the Mayach, and the Lev of Kiviyachal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midah called Mayach, the Midah called Lev, right, the underlying divine Ratzon behind action, and then it breaks into action as reflected in the film Chaliad. And it's not only in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not only that Hashem has a Ratzon, right? He's all about love, and even his din is all about love, and that's what this period is about, and showing how it's when the divine mind and heart breaks through action, as Tfilin Shaliyah is linking back to Tfilin Shalosh to show us the continuum of mind. And Tfilin Shaliyah connected Lev into action. Right, but it also has a lot to do with us. Right, of course, Hashem behaves as we behave to him, Kamayim Panim Alpanim. I'm going to suggest this is the period when Hashem has Ratzon towards us. Hashem shows that all of his deeds are based on a love towards us. We show the same thing, that all of our actions are based on a Ratzon towards him. We show the pneumius of a Yid is we really want to do the right thing. It doesn't always seem to materialize that way in action. But we're going to change. At least we have Ratzon. We're working on the tshuva process. There's a Ratzon deep in our heart which is going to emanate indeed. How brilliantly that's manifest in the Arizal's Remes when he says, El is Rosh HaTevis, Es Labav Chan, Es Labav Zaracha. All about the heart. The heart is the seat of Ratzon, right? I'm suggesting we show Hashem a little avodas hatshuva. We show Hashem what's in our heart. He will then show us what's in kiviyachol in his heart. He will then show Ratzon towards us. Now we understand with such poignancy the Arizal's famous Ramas of El as a matrika as an abbreviation for Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Ani L'Dodi is an expression of love from us to him. Love is the realm of Ratzon. We show love to him. He then he shows Ratzon to us, right? This is the solution I always suggest to people's questions. This intensified avoid of El. It's not me. Who am I tricking? Yeah? Talmud once told me, right? It's so inauthentic. Yeah? Hashem sees right through. That's what I'm suggesting. These are Yemei Ratzon. It shows what we really want, right? We show our Ratzon as Ratzon and Ratzon, so called. All this intensified avoid, you might not see it tomorrow, but El is who I really am, right? Very point. So Hashem, you at least revealed your Ratzon to us, which is the Hate of Ratzon, connected Ratzon. I'll finish off for you. There's so much to unpack here. Forgive me for, because of time constraints, I'm moving quickly here, and we'll unpack this all, Bez Hashem, in subsequent year. I'll finish with one more gem of a correlation, right? Based on all this, this is a tekufa of the year, when Ratzon breaks through to action, right? We show our Ratzon, Hashem, we love you despite all indiscretions. Deep down, we really want to do the right thing. You're going to show your Ratzon Lahitat, the Ratzon, which is behind the Bria, hence you made Ratzon, right? That's, as we explained, the reference to Tefillin Shaliyah in the Sefer Yetzirah based on Sfar Makdash. And this explains one final correlation, and that is when the Arizal correlates the 12 months, the 12 Shvatim, and tells us so mysteriously that Chaydash El is Keneged, Shevet God. Why Shevet God? I mean, God is a Shevet primarily of military men. God Gadud Yigadanu, the very word God, is in Yaakov Avinu's bracha, a reflection of the military formations, right? And the great soldiers from God, who according to Chazal, led the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, so much so that it says in Vezei Sabracha, but Teruah I cut code, they ripped the arm of the Canaanite, and with the arm, imagine that, along with the arm, they ripped off the skull too. They were such rugged warriors, right? You thought the Amazon warriors were strong. Think about the people from God, with the arm they ripped off the head, those are the people of God, right? So that's what Al is all about, huh? Seems so mysterious, yeah? It takes so much beauty, so much Anila Dodili, and here I made it all rugged and salt to the earth. But hold on. There's an unmistakable correlation here. Because based on the way Shevet God fought war, Teruah Teruah V'Akadkod, Chazal, derives something about Tefillin. I'm just gonna pop up all, right, ring all our bells about Tefillin Shaliyah. Right? When the Gemara tells us that when a Jewish soldier would go out to war, they would ensure the soldier had the righteousness that, of what? Of specifically which Hanhaga? Nothing mafsek between the Tefillin Shal Resh and the Tefillin Shal Yad. Right? The Rishonim say that that emanates from the bracha that God truf truf akakot. They were able to rip off the Kanaim's arm and hands together. That was because they themselves had a kedusha of a shal reish and a shal yad together. That's just like an archaic midah k'neged midah, right? You don't have to truf between shal reish shal yad, head arm connection, and therefore you can rip up arms and heads together. No. This is not an archaic reference. It was very, very deep and very meaningful. And so meaningful in an age when we're so focused on mindfulness. You understand? Yad, the realm of action. So often we're involved in action and the very physical and concrete and mundane, and we lose sight of mindfulness. And who am I? What is my ratzon? And where is this more manifest than in the conquests of life, the blood and the guts, what Sheva Gut is doing? When Sheva Gut, representing the Jewish soldiers, we're not opposite between the Tfon Shosh and Tfon Shad, that's symbolizing that even the realm of Yad, the realm of action, they were always grounded in Rosh and mindfulness. That a Jew, when they act, even the most physical, blood and gut sort of war stuff, a Yid is always firmly rooted in the realm of Ratzon. We act from our place of deepest mindfulness. What am I about? What is my vision? What is my direction in life? Ritzon Enos Sanko. Right? And this is the Mida Kenegan Mida. This was reflected quite viscerally in their ability to pull out the enemy's skull along with the enemy's arm, because for a Yid there is no separation. For these Yiddish warriors spread out, there is no separation between the arm and head. That's how I explain this Chazal. Well, now we understand so brilliantly how Shevet God as the Shevet of El, because the Sefer Tzvi already primed us that it's the month about Shel Yad, i.e. the Tefillin Shel Yad's linkage to the Tefillin Shel Resh, the mind-body connection, how the action is always linked back to the Ratzon and to the vision. You see how that's all lies in this pattern of Shevet God? Right? So all the correlations come together. You'll forgive me due to time constraints. I did not have the time to unpack it all with the emotional poignancy I generally like, but the picture is splendid. It's blended. And what should be resounding and ringing loud and loud and loud and clear here is this is the period of Ratzon. This is the period that we get to the essence of who we are, what is our vision of life, what are we all about, and we say, Hashem, despite whatever shows in the realm of action, how do we behave? We all have our imperfections. We're going to do tshuva. Right? Go back to that most inner place. Look at the way you are behaving now. Right? Deep down, this is what we really are. Right? We are about the most beautiful thing of all. You will show your Yemei Ratzon in this tekufa, which underlies all your Bria, and your vision will break through to action too. We will see. Loving Yeshua's Hashem breaking forth, taking us back, his underlying Ratzon, which is really always behind a seemingly hard worship, harsh world of Maisa. May we all be zechah to see this. Amen. Kein Yehi Ratzon. Baruch Tia.
Here it's the most very essence of the beginning comes for us, and what you're bringing out is in the most